VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. It's going to be a very busy Friday News Roundup program today. We've got tons of stories that we'd like to bring to your attention today. And our thanks to Sandy for pulling these together for us and preparing so many. Friends, we'll do our best to keep you informed, hitting a number of topics and issues today. Certainly, we need to be concerned for the direction that we are going as a nation. And turning our back on God is not an option for us, friends, if we want to have the joy and peace and certainly to walk in obedience with Him. We are seeing the effects of what happens when we do turn our back on God, the judgment that is unfolded, and sin abounds in our society here today. And these stories will bear that out, which we trust will burden our hearts in a more effective way to be in prayer for our nation, to be effective in our ministry and outreach to individuals, to be salt and to be light. We do want to begin today offering condolences to Republican Missouri State Representative Ben Baker. His daughter and son-in-law died after violent gangs attacked them while they were serving as missionaries in Haiti. Mr. Baker said in a Facebook post earlier today, he said, "Most of you know my daughter and son-in-law, Davey and Natalie Lloyd, are full-time missionaries in Haiti. They were attacked by gangs this evening and were both killed." He wrote this early this morning. He said, "My heart is broken in 1,000 pieces. I've never felt this kind of pain. Please pray for my family. We desperately need strength, and please pray for the Lloyd family as well. I have no other words for now," he had posted. The pair had been working for Missions in Haiti Incorporated. It's a ministry that was founded by David's parents, we understand. And also, it's reported that the U.S. Department of State issued a travel advisory for Haiti back in July, and then about not traveling to the area. And then it's been in unrest for a number of months. Violent gangs essentially overthrew the Haitian government, seized control of the nation's capital, wreaking havoc on civilian life and crippling the infrastructure and economic stability there. I know some other missionaries that were airlifted out of that country, but certainly be praying right now for the Baker and Lloyd families, and our condolences passed along to them. Haiti becoming a very volatile place, and I know that there was teaching going on at the Haiti Bible Institute, training national pastors, and be praying for effective outreach in their country. From Just the News, the top UN court has ordered Israel to immediately halt its military offensive in Rafah in southern Gaza. Israel must immediately halt its military offensive and any other action in the Rafah governorate, which may inflict on the Palestinian group in Gaza conditions of life that could bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, said the International Court of Justice. Jihad Watch reporting that, defying all predictions, the IDF has succeeded in evacuating about 950,000 Palestinian civilians in only 2 weeks since May the 6th. In addition, around 30-40% of Rafah is now under IDF control, not merely a small portion of the eastern sector. Remaining civilians are estimated about 300,000-400,000, almost all near the Gaza coast at this time. Israel National News reporting that U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Mike Johnson said at an event in Washington yesterday that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has agreed to invite Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address Congress. A formal invitation has been extended, not yet to Netanyahu, but will be soon, working to coordinate a date for him to come and give a joint address to the Congress. From Axios, House Speaker Johnson said that the House may vote on sanctions against the International Criminal Court for seeking an arrest warrant against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Representative Chip Roy of Texas introduced a bill that would sanction the ICC officials who investigate U.S. citizens or allies. It's supported by nearly two dozen other Republicans. From Newsmax, Germany, though, has not taken the same course. Germany said Wednesday it will abide by the ICC arrest warrant, and they will detain the Israeli prime minister should he step foot on German soil. From Jihad Watch, U.S. Secretary, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen vowed Thursday to use all diplomatic efforts to thwart Israeli Finance Minister Smotrich's plans to cut Palestinian Authority banks off from the Jewish state's financial system. She said, "I'm particularly concerned by Israel's threats to take action that would lead to Palestinian banks being cut off from their Israeli correspondent banks." She gave this at an address press conference ahead of the G7 finance ministers and central bank governors meeting. These banking channels are critical for processing transactions that enable almost $8 billion a year in imports from Israel, including electricity, water, fuel, and food, as well as facilitating almost $2 billion a year in exports in which Palestinian livelihoods depend, Yellen continued. Find it very interesting how she would make this statement, but yet allow U.S. banks to cut off conservative organizations. From Palestinian Watch, PAL Watch, in an interview, top PA officials and PA Chairman Abbas advisor Mahmoud El-Habash threatened Israel that October 7th can repeat itself 100 times and perhaps even more seriously. El-Habash envisions 100 times murder of over 1,000 innocent Israeli civilians, babies, children, youth, women, men, and elderly. He vows that 100 times Israeli women will be brutally raped, 100 times Israeli men will be sadistically killed, 100 times over 200 innocent Israeli civilians will be taken captive and held hostages for months. This will happen if the Palestinian cause will not be justly, comprehensively, and permanently resolved on the basis of the UN resolutions. Interesting article here from the Washington Stand today, a writing from Joshua Arnold. On Wednesday, Spain, Norway, and Ireland tried, recognizing a state of Palestine, which, by the way, does not exist. If you're recognizing a Palestinian state, they have to have land, said Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. And that land that's being advocated is Sumerian Judea and the so-called West Bank. Knesset member Ohad Tal joined Perkins to declare the proposed two-state solution theological craziness, and that it would take the holiest sites of Judaism, like Hebron and Shiloh and Bethlehem and East Jerusalem, and give it to the Palestinians. In fact, the territories that currently designated as the West Bank contain, this is Judea and Samaria, contain many of the towns and regions that we read in the Old Testament, the land of Israel. I mean, we think of Shechem, Bethel, Hebron, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Gibeon, Shiloh, Tirzah, Samaria, all would have to be given up to create this so-called land of Palestine. Israel National News is reporting that the bodies of three hostages were rescued overnight during a joint IDF and ISA operation. Based on verified intelligence obtained by the IDF, hostages were murdered during the October 7th massacre and were abducted to Gaza by Hamas terrorists. The Daily Wire reporting that none of the aid that President Joe Biden sent to Gaza via this floating pier that the U.S. military constructed, none of that has reached the Palestinian people, a U.S. official said this week. Pentagon spokesperson Major General Pat Ryder said on Tuesday that none of the 569 tons of aid transported to Gaza since last week has reached the Palestinian people. Folks, they were warned about this. Hamas is stealing the food. And yes, even those within the UNRWA, you know, the UN agency as well. This was a $320 million Biden pier for Gaza, yet to become another failure. Ryder acknowledged during the press conference that the aid was intercepted by some people who took that aid off those vehicles. Friends, it's outrageous. Outrageous. Don't think that Israel's not supplied, food and relief supplies. Here, the U.S. was trying to send 569 tons of aid to be put on, you know, this new dock, this floating dock out there. $320 million pier to $320 million. Think of it, folks, a third of $1 billion to build this. And none of the aid reaching the people. Just the News is reporting that Republican Senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson unveiled evidence Wednesday that former Secretary of State John Kerry's State Department actively interfered with the FBI's attempt to arrest people suspected of being in the U.S. illegally to support Iran's efforts to create weapons of mass destruction. Whistleblowers allegedly told the senators and shared unclassified documents with them that support their claims and show that the Justice Department and the FBI failed to make the necessary steps to stop Kerry's obstructive efforts against law enforcement. The records show John Kerry actively and persistently interfered with FBI operations pertaining to lawful arrest of known terrorists, members of Iranian proliferation networks, and other criminals, providing material support for Iran's nuclear and ballistic missile program. Remember those meetings that he had going on with Iran during the Trump administration? Friends, I also want you to hear some amazing audio here. This is a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing on Tuesday during which Cruz and Antony Blinken jousted over, a lack of response to Cruz's question about how much oil Iran imports. Let's get this in before the break.
When you became Secretary of State, how much oil was Iran selling a day?
I'll have to come back to you on any numbers. I don't have the numbers.
You don't know. It doesn't surprise me you don't know. It was about 300,000. Hmm. How much oil is Iran selling today?
We've applied sanctions against more than 200 entities that are engaged in petrochemicals.
How much oil? Okay,
you can tell me. I'm sure.
Don't filibuster.
I'm not filibustering.
How much oil are they selling today? Do you know?
You tell me.
Apparently you don't know. So you don't know how much they were selling. It was 300,000. Today they're selling about 2 million barrels a day. Let me ask you.
And given the sanctions, given the export controls, given the other controls we put on, the cost of doing that, the evasion that they have to engage in, which we're trying to cut
off.
They've
made about $80 billion. Let me ask you another question. I'm running out of time, so I'm not interested in speeches. Let me ask you this. How many Ghost Fleet ships did Iran have in November 2020?
We have sanctioned more than 200
of those. It's a question. How many did they have?
The total number, I can't tell you what it had in 2021. I'll come back to you with that, but we have...
The number was about 70.
Yeah,
How many did they have today?
We blocked about 50 of them.
Okay, let's see how effective you are. How many do they have today?
As I said, we blocked about 50.
How many do they have today?
You tell me. I'm sure you...
They have about over 400. Mm. Look, this administration desperately wants a new Iran deal. You have been showering cash on Iran from day one. And understand, the $6 billion you were asked about is the tip of the iceberg. By refusing to enforce oil sanctions, we have seen Iran's oil sales go from 300,000 barrels a day when you got into office to over 2 million barrels a day today. That's $80 billion. 90% of Hamas's funding comes from Iran in a very real sense. This administration, you and President Biden, funded the October 7th attacks by flowing $100 billion to a homicidal, genocidal regime that funded those attacks.
That statement is profoundly wrong.
Why?
I'm not even going to humor it. I think it's a disgraceful statement.
Why?
We have gone at Iran repeatedly with more than 600 sanctions applied against different persons.
Then why are they selling 2 million barrels a day as compared to 300,000?
They are working hard to do what they can to get around the sanctions.
So just the prior administration had tools you didn't have, they were more effective, or maybe they just weren't desperate to cut a deal with Iran.
And we continue every single day to go at them.
You are refusing to address the facts.
I'm not.
Then why are they selling 2 million barrels a day?
Because they're determined to try to do that. We're determined to cut them off.
They weren't determined when Trump was president?
They were determined. And, of course, unfortunately, we also had their nuclear program in a box. No fissile material being produced.
Okay, you're not answering the question. You're filibustering another topic.
Senator Cruz, you get the last word. You get the last word. Really?
You funded our enemies and you undermine our friends. And the world is much, much more dangerous as a result, and Americans are at greater jeopardy because of it. Yep.
Senator Ted Cruz, back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are we making any progress with a creationist view of the unborn?
Yes, it seems we are, Chris, although there's positive and negative steps being taken. More and more people are being educated on the personhood of the unborn child and the need to protect it. Even efforts to clone humans are helping in the sense that there's much scientific evidence now for the unique personhood of the fertilized egg. Unfortunately, this doesn't always carry the day with legislatures and judges, for they often rule that such a person has no individual rights and can be aborted. We yearn for a day when even the courts go back to Genesis for their thinking.
Thank you, Dr. John. For more information on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, simply visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org. This is Chris O'Brien. God bless.
You know, it's totally amazing how much oil is being exported from Iran now compared to under the Trump administration. Oh, yeah, we lift the sanctions. We get back into this Iran deal, you know. And, folks, look what's happening. Iran is funding Hamas, funding Hezbollah, funding the enemies of Israel, she herself being an enemy of Israel. Wipe Israel off the face of the earth is their theme. Let's get on to another issue here today. This from Children's Health Defense. Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, will step down from his leadership role, according to Semaphore. Schwab is 86, headed the WEF since 1971. Tim Hinchliffe, editor of The Sociable, told The Defender, if the Semaphore report is correct, Schwab will be the non-executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, so he'll probably remain influential behind the scenes within the organization. In its report, Semaphore cited a statement from a WEF spokesperson saying that the organization is transforming from a conveying platform to the leading global institution for public-private cooperation. According to Semaphore, Schwab didn't name a successor. However, in the past, the group's executive board, led by WEF President Børge Brende, a former Norwegian conservative leader, has taken full executive responsibility. Last year, Politico speculated that Brende is a possible successor to Schwab. Other names Politico included were the former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair and Christine Lagarde. Head of the European Central Bank, and also the former head of the International Monetary Fund, who Schwab previously said could step in for him. Also, Klaus Schwab, very interesting, he became well-known worldwide during the COVID crisis in 2020 when he called for a great reset, a globalist plan to reshape the world. That's his words, folks. He's a proponent of the so-called Fourth Industrial Revolution, a technocratic transhumanist agenda that includes genetically editing human beings and merging humans with computers. Folks, that's the views of Klaus Schwab. Listen in.
The difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing, just as an example. It's you who are changed. Yeah, and of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. And offers certain kinds of possibilities that have to be careful about. You know, when you began to do that kind of gene editing, some people worry that you are changing what it means to be human.
Exactly. People fear it changes what it means to be human. And that's what we're talking. We played just days ago, we played the Yuval Noah Harari. In the surveillance under the skin. And friends, when you understand, again, what's happening next week, just a few days from now in Geneva, Switzerland, as the World Health Assembly under the World Health Organization is convening, and on their agenda is to pass this pandemic treaty. We're still waiting for word about a final analysis. They just finally released a text version of where they were on May the 10th. Filled with changes to this document, a horrifying document, in my opinion. The Washington Stand talks about this proposed WHO agreement, pandemic agreement, and even with the revised text, they say it threatens national sovereignty, equates the health of humans with animals and plants. It also establishes a global super government of unelected bureaucrats who may alter the agreement at any time, transfers one-fifth of all U.S. vaccines and emergency equipment to WHO and regular monetary contributions to developing countries, a category, by the way, that includes China. It requires nations to follow WHO regulations on routine immunization and social measures, including lockdowns, mask mandates, and social distancing. Calls on nations to study factors such that reduce public trust in government pandemic policies, such as mask and vaccine mandates or social distancing. It would empower private sector forces such as social media companies to ramp up censorship of disfavored viewpoints, aims to create equity-driven universal national health care systems around the globe, does not define the term pandemic, gender, or women, by the way, has a Hotel California provision stating that a nation can never discharge any obligations which accrued while it was a party to the WHO pandemic agreement, even after it withdraws. Friends, this is horrible. It is a direct attack on our sovereignty. Matter of fact, America Out Loud says that Biden signing this treaty is an insurrection. To even sign this would be an insurrection. It is not legally binding. Such treaties have to go with a two-thirds vote by the United States Senate. And President Biden is planning to subvert this. There have been a number of countries that have been speaking up in opposition to this. We understand also that some of them are friends. We can pray that this thing be stalled. You can reach out to your members of Congress, call out to the White House to let your dissatisfaction be made known. Or if you're satisfied, let them know that. To me, it's outrageous what they're trying to do. And yeah, I believe it. You know, it would be accurate. What America's Out Loud is saying is that the Biden signing of this is an insurrection, subverting our Constitution. The New American says when pressed for real world ideas on dealing with the so-called climate crisis, climate zealots are full of them. We must get the entire planet off of reliable fossil fuels and quickly switch to fuels unable to power society for one thing. Furthermore, we must do with diversity. We must do so with diversity, equity, and inclusion always foremost in our thoughts. Bill McGuire, a volcanologist and climate scientist who is a professor of geophysical and climate hazards at University College London, has another idea for how to reduce emissions, the calling of humanity with a deadly pandemic. Friends, now understand this. This is another reason why this WHO pandemic treaty is so dangerous. Because if we have this body, an agency declaring that we've got this climate emergency and this is a health emergency for a nation, the controls are just staggering. In a now-deleted post, McGuire remarked this. Listen to this, friends. He said, if I am brutally honest, the only realistic way I see emissions falling as fast as they need to is to avoid catastrophic climate breakdown is the culling of the human population by a pandemic with a very high fatality rate. Can I read that again? Because it takes a while for this to sink into our minds what he's calling for. He said, if I'm brutally honest, put this out on X. If I'm brutally honest, the only realistic way I see emissions falling as fast as they need to avoid catastrophic climate breakdown is the culling of the human population by a pandemic with a very high fatality rate. He later deleted the tweet, but did so unapologetically, suggesting that readers misunderstood exactly what he was saying. In all caps, he said, right, I am deleting the initial tweet now, not because I regret it, but because so many people out there have mistakenly or intentionally taken it the wrong way. Friends, the problem wasn't that people took his comments the wrong way, but they understood perfectly what he was getting at, the culling of humanity, wanting to say, you know, to really save our climate and this breakdown that's happening, the culling of the human population by a pandemic with a very high fatality rate. You put that in perspective with the pandemic treaty. Put that in perspective with that, friends, because this would give the World Health Organization sovereign control over the world in making decisions. Forced vaccinations and vaccination passports, you know, the forced masking, the social distancing, the breakup of businesses, you know, the stopping of business. All power would be granted to them through this document. And again, climate change is just one of those areas that some are pushing for a national emergency to be declared. Interesting story that appeared just recently here from LifeSiteNews.com. Pope Francis has stated that the world is at a point of no return regarding climate change and now is on a road to death. Here's what he said.
How worried are you
this is
about
CBS.
Climate change?
Lamentablemente.
Unfortunately, we've gotten to a point of no return. It's sad, but that's what it is. Global warming is a serious problem. Climate change at this moment is a road to death. A road to death, eh?
And it is an artificial climate change, no? Something provoked, not the normal climate change, right?
You have placed blame on wealthy countries.
In great measure, yes, because they are the ones that have more of an economy and an energy based on fossil fuels that are creating the situation, right? They are the countries that can make the most difference, given their industry and all, aren't they? But it is very difficult to create an awareness of this. They hold a conference, everybody is in agreement, they all sign. And then bye-bye. But we have to be very clear. Global warming is alarming.
It's in a portion of an interview, CBS with Pope Francis. Breitbart is reporting Microsoft has announced a new line of AI-enhanced Windows PCs. Friends, this story is rather frightening what's happening technically. Microsoft has announced a new line of AI-enhanced Windows PCs, aiming to revolutionize the way that users interact with their devices by integrating the Copilot AI assistant into the Windows operating system. The creepy system will take constant screenshots of your activity to track your every move, reports Breitbart. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said, we're entering this new era where computers not only understand us, but can actually anticipate what we want and our intent. Computers understanding us, not just understand us, but anticipate what we want and what is our intent. The new AI-powered features include Windows Recall, which provides the Copilot assistant with a photographic memory of a user's virtual activity. Microsoft claims that its privacy settings will be protected by allowing them to filter out unwanted tracking and keeping the tracking data on the device itself. Microsoft's new AI-enhanced Windows PCs are set to launch on June 18th. These cutting-edge features will be reserved for a premium model starting at $999, they report. Your computer anticipating your next move, what you're thinking? WND. Now let's combine it with this story from WND.com. One credit card company has begun promoting what is obviously hopes is the next generation in purchasing power, its own card that links to multiple bank accounts and dispenses with numbers, replacing them with biometrics. It is a report at Wine Press News that talks about using facial images, fingerprints, and such as the key to the next generation of security in payments. The company's plan, outlined recently, is Visa Flexible Credential, is promoted as a way to let companies give their clients the ability to access different funding sources and an existing payment card. It boasts of one card to rule them all. That's a quote. One card to rule them all. Visa claims a majority of card users want to access many accounts through a single piece of plastic. Also on the agenda is the conversion to biometrics for identification. This will be addressed, the company said, in its payment a passkey service, which purportedly will be a fraud detection system, as well as AI that will learn to recognize the customer's purchase history. That means if you buy something out of the ordinary, the AI running the system could deny your purchase. But the AI will allow you to pay for it with a smile. Friends, remember our recent interview with Alex Newman talking about 50 and 5, 50 nations in 5 years, and the central bank digital currency and all things moving digital? Friends, this is said to be one card to rule them all. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on 2 CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours, 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and ladies and gentlemen, we yet have people mocking this notion that there are those that are secretly working to bring about a one-world system, one-world government, one-world economy. Well, I can agree with you one thing. They're not secretly working. They're doing it in the open, friends. They're doing it right in the open. And if this is not a wake-up call to, first of all, believers in Jesus Christ, to be serious about your faith, knowing that that we are fast approaching this one-world political system, a one-world economic system, even a one-world religious system. The only thing that's not tolerated in this one-world religious system is those who would subscribe to a fundamentalist ideology or evangelical Christianity, not acceptable in this one-world system. Friends, we're fast going toward that. It's not a time to be playing patty cake. We need to be serious about our faith in Christ, serious about gathering together with believers and praying with one another, and serious about evangelizing and sharing the gospel with lost. And for those who don't know Christ as Savior, my, oh my, what a wake-up call should be going on in your mind right now, that today is the day of salvation, friends. Don't put it off. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Consider all that's coming together. And it's happening so very quickly. From Just the News, House Republicans advocated on the House floor yesterday for a passage of a bill to ban Fed digital currency pilot program. The bill ultimately passed 216 to 192, now heads to the Senate. What do you think Chuck Schumer is going to do with that? And if it would pass, do you believe it would be signed by the president? It's called the CBDC Anti-Surveillance State Act to amend the Federal Reserve Act to prohibit the Federal Reserve banks from offering certain products or services directly to an individual, to prohibit the use of central bank digital currency for monetary policy and for other purposes. But nearly half of the House of Representatives want this to take place. Indeed, we've got a very important election coming up this November. Epoch Times is reporting that a congressman is calling for the immediate end of COVID-19 shot mandates at colleges nationwide, calling the policy unethical and anti-science. Representative Kevin Kiley called out each school that continued to mandate the COVID-19 shot during a congressional hearing on May 17th, demanding that they end their status as bastions of ignorance in American higher education, while pointing out that it had been more than a year since the emergency was declared over. Mr. Kiley took time to read into the congressional record the individual names of the schools that continue to impose mandates on the students. New York Post reporting a New Jersey gym owner who defied the Garden State's COVID-19 restrictions was cleared of more than 80 charges relating to a series of pandemic-era confrontations with police. This is Ian Smith and Frank Trombetti. Kept their workout spot open in May of 2020 despite Governor Phil Murphy's mandate to close non-essential businesses. The owners were hit with scores of summonses and also eventually ordered to pay about $165,000 in fines for violating public health emergency rules, according to NJ.com. The victory opens the battlefield again and gives the options to continue to push back and bring justice to what the article says the New York Post calls the treasonous actions of Phil Murphy and his lackeys. Oh, that was a statement by Mr. Smith, Ian Smith, one of those that had been sanctioned. America Out Loud News is reporting that former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, who pushed the government's deadly COVID-19 narrative and shamed the unvaccinated, admitted he's taking ivermectin now for long COVID, a condition affecting 17 million Americans, which many believe could be caused by COVID-19 vaccines. Ivermectin was basically maligned at the height of the pandemic by the U.S. government, according to Dr. Pierre Corey, a pulmonary and critical care specialist. Yet bought out off hospitals and pharmacies, were allocated a staggering $178 billion in COVID-19 relief money during the pandemic. According to Dr. Corey, in the wake of the global horse dewormer propaganda campaign, hospitals started pulling ivermectin from the pharmacies. Health systems began harassing and threatening employees with loss of employment if they prescribed ivermectin. Pharmacies even became more brazen in the refusal to even fill the prescriptions. Research reveals that both Walgreens and CVS were recipients of large money contract awards from the federal government for their work related to COVID-19, reports the article. Children's Health Defense tells us that federal health officials are ramping up efforts to combat what they claim is the growing threat of H5N1 bird flu, with plans to produce 4.8 million vaccine doses and increase influenza surveillance nationwide. The move comes as two new human bird flu infections cases were identified, one in Michigan and one in Australia, heightening concerns about the virus's potential to spread among humans. Friends, some are warning that this bird flu is going to be the disease X that they've been talking about. The new vaccine, currently in bulk form, will be filled and finished in multi-dose vials by one of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services manufacturing partners. It's amazing, friends, to see what's happened, even in our military, since the mandates went in for the COVID shot. The secretary, and this is a story here from LifeSiteNews.com, the Secretary of the U.S. Navy told senators he has no regrets about the firing of thousands of sailors and Marines who declined to take the COVID-19 shots. During a Capitol Hill hearing, Senator Eric Schmidt pressed Secretary Carlos Del Toro on the impact that both DEI, that's the Diversity, Equality, or Equity and Inclusion, training courses and the COVID jab mandates have had on Navy recruitment, and pushed back against the Navy's priority of climate change over keeping peace with America's adversaries. And I want you to hear what he had to say in part at this hearing.
Do you believe
Don't you want all the members of your team to feel like they're included?
Well, I have a question. Do you believe that you were an ally for the 1,878 soldiers who were fired, or the 3,746 Marines who were fired for not taking the COVID shot? Were you an ally for them?
Sir, I followed the laws. They disobeyed
the law. Did they feel included?
They disobeyed a law.
They were fired.
They were fired because they disobeyed the law.
Do you regret that? Do you regret that?
Currently existed. I have no regrets.
You have recruitment challenges. You refuse to. You refuse to admit that DEI is a part of this. You're firing qualified people who are well-trained, and you sit here so smugly to act like none of that has any impact on the readiness of our Navy.
Senator, we recontacted 3,500 of the 4,800 people who were fired. You know how many actually decided to come back to the Navy?
How many?
Two.
Shocker.
Two.
Shocker at the level of disrespect they receive from their government.
Friends, amazing. Amazing what's taking place. No regrets at all regarding the firing of so many military members. Meeting recruitment challenges, they were readily prepared. But because they refused to take that mandate to have that shot, an experimental shot, under emergency use authorization, were terminated. Terminated from employment. And then after all was said and done, and after they were humiliated and released and invited to come back, do you think you would want to? I mean, we saw the same thing happen in the hospitals and medical settings across the nation, where many refused to take the shot, were fired and humiliated as a result of it, and then come back, hey, we'd like to offer you that position again. Friends, there's another troubling issue that's going on in our nation right now, and it's been warned from guests here on Crosstalk. I think of Usama Dakdak, Shahram Haidian, and others, about the Muslim political power in the United States. It's being marketed to Americans as an aspect of our wonderful diversity. With more Muslim political power will come more Sharia, as has been the case everywhere else in the world where Muslims have gained political power. Yet no one's paying any attention, because to take notice of such realities, well, I guess it would be Islamophobic. Osama Sablani, the editor and publisher of the Arab American News, said in a May 10, 2024 address at the Islamic Center of America in Dearborn, Michigan, that the Arab American community is on the way to the White House, Congress, and decision-making everywhere in the United States.
We have the best that we can offer to the United States of America, not only in Michigan, but across the country. And we offered our best. The best is yet to come. I can be very confident to tell you that we are on the road to the White House, to the Congress, to the decision-making everywhere in the United States. 40 years ago, we had a mayor for this town who talks about the Arab problem. Guess what? The Arabs are ruling Dearborn and Dearborn Heights and Hamtramck. So brothers and sisters, we are on the road. I'm saying this because yesterday, when we welcomed our brother and leader, Abbas Ibrahim, at the airport, he had seen and witnessed the kind of power and connections that we have.
Yeah, the kind of power and connections we have. We are on our way to the White House. We're on our way to Congress. Usama has warned, we as a nation have been like the frog in the kettle. The water is heating up, and we're totally oblivious to what's going on. Prophet Hosea wrote, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The Epoch Times is reporting China kicked off large-scale military exercises around Taiwan on May 23rd, a move that drew condemnation from the island's newly sworn-in administration of president, that would be Lai Ching-der. I will stand on the front line with all the brothers and sisters in the military to defend national security together, Mr. Lai said during his visit to the island's 66th Marine Brigade's base. In the face of external challenges and threats, we'll continue to defend the values of democracy and safeguard peace and stability in the region, he said. China's military exercises came just 3 days after Mr. Lai was sworn in as Taiwan's new president. Watch what happens in this region as well, friends. Liberty Unyielding reports faith-based programs are key to providing comprehensive care to those vulnerable children, but the Biden administration is now requiring foster care providers to commit to affirming a child's LGBTQI+ status or identity, to be trained with the appropriate knowledge related to the child's self-identified gender identity and sexual orientation, and facilitate the child's access to resources that support their gender expression. The Biden administration has already revoked several Trump administration protections to ensure that faith-based adoption agencies are protected. The administration has taken away pre-approved waivers and refused to approve new ones. With these changes that they have taken, the first and final step to prevent people of faith from providing foster care for children who need it the most, therefore solidifying their position as an anti-religion administration. Friends, our nation is crying for more foster care families. This is a direct attack on Christians and those who will suffer most, the traumatized children stuck in an increasingly broken foster care system. The truth is that children in the system need traditional families with traditional values. CBN News is reporting God's Behind Bars, it's a national prison ministry, has seen a group of 25 men from a maximum security prison in South Dakota give their lives to Jesus Christ last week. Since 2009, God Behind Bars has worked to restore the lives of inmates by building their faith during incarceration after their release. Through their outreach programs, they're working to reach more than 2.5 million people in the prison system. Most recently, they shared in a South Dakota maximum security prison, 20 men signed up for water baptism, and 5 more after they heard the gospel preached also got baptized. One man who got baptized, a leading Wiccan group, came to Jesus and was baptized. Another who came to the service for the first time, invited Jesus into his life, was also baptized. Praise God for what is taking there. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. D.L. Moody said, quote, I grow weary in the work, but not of the work, end quote. My friends, do you feel that way? Do you grow weary sometimes in our work and labor for the Lord, but you don't grow weary of the work? Well, this is exactly what the Lord commended the church of Ephesus of in Revelation chapter 2. He commended them for not growing weary as they were doing what? Not tolerating wicked people. They were pointing out false apostles. They were very, very patient with people. They were not tolerating wicked people. He commends them before he seeks to correct them and tells them to get back to your first love. What's your motivation? what motivates us. We might be doing the right things, but for the wrong motive. Let's continue to persevere. Let's continue to not become weary of the work, even though sometimes in the work.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, I know time is short. I've got more stories, but we'll open the lines here for just a brief comment. If you have one here today, try to keep it about 30 seconds or less so we can facilitate your calls. 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We know the border is just a total mess. The number that are encroaching our borders and the gotaways that are taking place as well. It came up at a press conference at the White House with Karine Jean-Pierre being questioned, and she's basically asking why should the Biden administration have to do this unilaterally? Why should we have to take care of this issue? Just listen in.
You opened the briefing by saying it's up to Republicans to do something to solve the problem or continue to use it as a political issue. The president has the authority to do something about this unilaterally. Congress is in a divided government right now. Why isn't he doing anything?
Well, why should he have to do it unilaterally? Why should we do it in a legislative way? And let's not forget, that negotiated... So, you're right. He took many executive actions before.
Yeah, he did. But why should we have to do this unilaterally? Because, friends, that's what a president does. He takes action. He secures the borders, just as we saw in the previous administration. And when Mr. Biden took office, he relaxed all those rules. Stop building the wall. Start bringing in millions that have encroached our borders. And her argument is, why should he have to do this unilaterally? It was being done that way, friends. Truly, truly concerning as to what is going on there. And by the way, the Biden administration... Well, he's decided to release a million barrels of gasoline from the Northeast Reserve in order to try to keep lower prices down. You can't have high prices of gas before an election, even though we are seeing high prices for gasoline. He's taking it from storage sites in New Jersey and Maine that were 100,000 barrels at a time. These were put in reserve after Superstorm Sandy. You know, they'd be used in times of national emergency. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Mark calling from Ohio. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah. All this news, man, that's mind-boggling what you're giving. And really don't really surprise me because it is following the prophecies that God has fulfilled or fulfilling it. And I have to say, like you said, the Christians better be prepared. And those who are listening and want to become a Christian better get themselves ready because it can be now. He'd be coming today.
Yeah.
The way things are acting. We are in the end times, and I think we are close, real close. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you so much for your call. Okay, let's go next. Our number here, 800-733-9829. David in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to make my most favorite comment, and that is I've listened to, I don't know, four decades of talk radio. You still there? Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk radio, and I hear a lot of helpful educational things as to what is going on with this, that, and the other thing that affects us, and maybe what our government should be doing about it. I think it's time that we need to, every time we talk about it, enter into the conversation more what we as individuals and groups are going to do about it in the form of action steps. Otherwise, nothing is ever going to change, and it's only going to get worse.
Okay, so David, in light of these things, what can you do?
Well, I did one thing this morning. I do something every day. Here's a real-life example. I have a county ordinance problem in the area with our government not doing its job. And then when I complain about it, they say, well, there's nothing wrong here. And then I educate them. No, you're wrong, Mr. Officer. Here's what the law is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's going on.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to be doing about it. And if you don't like it, get a different job.
Yeah.
You need to stand up to these people.
Yep. And you don't need me to tell you to do that. I mean, that comes out of when you hear an issue that's going on. And many times, if you're a regular listener to this program, as we're talking just this week here, even with the pandemic treaty, we have given the numbers to the White House over and over again. We've given the numbers to your congressmen and senators and these other issues that are taking place, doing just exactly what you've done. You reach out, you hear the story, say, I'm going to do something about that. And you take a step in that regard.
Right. But here, I think the average listener doesn't do that. The little scenario that I gave you, that's just what came to mind. Mm-hmm. But I do it almost every day. And almost nobody else that I observe does that. And people need to stand up more to these powers that be. And you don't talk to the president every day as an individual, but you do run into your local. And each time that I have to take a local, my level, a government official to task, I remind them to take it up their chain of command, because this person I'm addressing at the lowest level of government, they didn't create the policy, but they're a victim of it just like I am. And so I put pressure on them, and I tell them to put pressure up their chain of command.
Yeah. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. And listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. News Roundup Friday here today, and taking your calls here on the program. And let's see, we're just about out of time here. By the way, if you're in Colorado, if you're in South Dakota, keep in mind that has just been authorized for on your ballot is abortion-related issues, an abortion amendment coming up in the November election. I shouldn't have to tell you this, but I would hope by knowing that information that it's important that you are registered in advance to vote, and that when voting time comes that you will go to the polls and vote. I think it's important for you to know that rather than me having to tell you that to go vote. Keep in mind the critical nature of these matters. And several states, the state of Florida is another one that we've talked about previous here. By the way, Target stores. Planning, these stories were that they're going to be scaling back on Pride-related things in a number of stores. But, folks, they are going full bore in promoting LGBT. Their Pride Plus Business Council hosting internal events and experiences where interested team members can learn, reflect, celebrate, and connect, complemented by our year-round resources and benefits we provide to our LGBTQIA+ team members, reflecting our culture of care for all 400,000 people who work at Target. Yes, they are showcasing Pride merchandise as well. So what can you do about it, listener? Well, you have to decide, are you going to continue to shop there or not? And on the list goes. Well, my time is gone here, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Friends, we're living in perilous times. We need to proclaim God's word in such a time as this. The only thing, salvation doesn't happen at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. No, it happens when you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's serve Him. By the way, the Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.